night.
Good morning. Hope everybody's having a great week so far. Good weekend. Thank you all so much for being here at LifePoint Church today, hanging out with us, being a part of what God's doing here, and being family. So we appreciate you being here. It's good to see all you people over here on my right side. Shout out to Greg. And, you know, that's all good. So, you know, I see kind of where people are in their faith journey. Greg's confident. He's all the way into church. Some of y'all staying close to the door. So, no, I'm just kidding. But again, seriously, thank you all for being here. Today, we're wrapping up this current message series that we're in called So That. And what we've been doing in this series is we've been looking at different prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed through Scripture. We looked at three so far. We're going to look at the fourth today. But they're very specific prayers. And what I'm doing in this series, I want to encourage you to begin to add these prayers to your own personal prayer life. And as we read these prayers of Paul, we find that there's a very consistent pattern in all of them. We've seen that every week. That's why the message series is called So That. What we see in these prayers is that he prays a very, very specific prayer, right? It's not kind of reckless. It's not vague. It's a very specific prayer. Then he uses the words so that, and then he breaks down why he's praying that prayer. And that's the pattern that we see. So, for example, in week one, we learned to pray for power so that Christ may dwell within you, right? So that everything that you do and as you operate, God will be working through you and his power will be working through you. In week two, we talked about how we need to continue to pray for ourselves as well as for others, that we would be active in sharing our faith. And as we're being active in sharing our faith, then we'd fully understand every good thing that we have in Christ. Last week, we talked about how we need to be in prayer for unity, right? For unity in the body of Christ, unity of the church, so that together we could glorify God with one mind and one voice. We could bring glory to God, and then we could reach the city of Louisville and beyond with the good news of Christ. But we have to be unified. So we'll be in prayer for unity. And today, as we close out this series, we're looking at Paul's prayer to the church of Philippi, and he prays this prayer so that they would be able to discern and know what's best. So they would know what's best. Now, how many of you seriously would be honest to say, you know, man, I've got some decisions coming up or some current situations that are on deck right now in my life that I've got to make, some big ones, or I just need some clarity and some guidance, and knowing what's best would be really good. Like maybe you're, you know, a high school student that recently graduated or you graduated a few years ago and you're still trying to figure out, like, which school to go to or what journeys next for you as an adult in this new world, and you're just trying to figure out what's best, right? Or maybe it's a purchase that you think that you need to make, and you're trying to figure out, you know, should I make this purchase? Should I not make this purchase? Should I wait? And you're trying to figure out what's best. Or maybe it's an investment, or maybe a career change, a job change, and you're trying to figure those things out. Or maybe it's something even more simple than that. Maybe it's I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should make this post on Facebook, right? Or I should make this or comment on this post on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and you're trying to decide, is that what's best? But I think we all find ourselves in these situations from time to time where we're trying to figure out what's best. How many of y'all would say that you've been there or you're currently there right now? You got a situation, you're trying to figure out what's best, right? And I think it's, and I'm in that boat as well. I mean, you know, we're all in this thing together, right? And I think it's because every single one of us really wants to know what's best. We want to know what's best so that we can do what's best. And I think pretty much everybody wants that. And that's why this message today and these words in prayer of Paul is important. And this knowing what's best is at the center of Paul's prayer to the church of Philippi that we read in Philippians chapter 1. But before we get into that, again, let me give you a little bit of context before we dive into our scripture. And we talked about Paul all throughout this this message series. So you know that Paul is a pivotal member of the body of Christ, I mean, he was an apostle. He was responsible for penning a majority of the New Testament. I mean, we're talking about a huge man in our faith, in our Christian faith. And he was writing this letter to the church at Philippi, and he was writing it from prison. And he was in a situation where he really didn't know what was coming next. Like, he didn't know whether he was going to be executed in that later that day. Like, he just didn't know where he was and what was going on. He just knew that he was in prison and that he wanted to write this letter to the church of Philippi. So he's in prison, and he's writing this to the saints and to the Christ followers there that he loved dearly. I mean, he loved the people of this church. Verse 3 actually says that every time I think of you, this is when he's writing, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I mean, think about a relationship that you have that is that powerful, that you love so much that every time you think of them or they come into your mind, you've got to stop whatever you're doing just to thank God for the fact that they're in your life. I mean, that's a deep love. That's a deep love and passion. And that's the context that he's writing this letter to them, knowing that this could be the last time that he communicates with them. Because like I said, he's in prison. He doesn't know what's coming next. So that's how pivotal and important these words were that he penned to the church at Philippi. They're of the utmost importance to him at this moment. And that's the context that we read Paul's prayer found in Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10. So check it out. Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Here it is. "So that you may be able to discern what's best." So that you'll be able to know what's best. And again, every single person in here, raise your hand stating, "I want to know what's best. I want to do what's best." So as we begin to kind of break down this scripture and this passage, we see that Paul says that I pray that your love would abound more and more. So as we begin to break this down, we have to first understand what kind of love Paul is talking about here, right? Because as we all know, there's many, many different types of love. Love doesn't all equal the same thing, right? The way it's shown or how we feel about it. I mean, we love our parents, right? We love our moms, our dads. We love our family. We love our kids, sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. We love our kids. We love our family here at LifePoint Church. Right? We love our spouses. There's different types of love. We love Starbucks. Right? I mean, I know I'm not the only one. And though my love for Starbucks is deep and pure, it's very different than my love for my wife. Right? Yes, that is good. Thank you. But that shows that we've got to understand what kind of love we're talking about. And here we see that Paul is talking about an agape type of love, which is, it's a unconditional love. It's a love that knows no limit. It's a love that is straight from the heart of God. It's a love that doesn't necessarily give us what we want, but it gives us what we need. And that's a serious love. That's deep love. That's the love that Paul is talking about when he says that I want it to abound more and more, both in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul's basically saying you're going to experience this agape love, right? You're going to experience it. And we also want you to give that. It should be everything that you do. This is that agape type of love, that unconditional love that's from the heart of God. And as you receive that and give it, it starts to transform you from the inside out. That it grows more and more in both knowledge and depth of insight. This love is so pure and powerful that it begins to change the way you think, right? Then as a result, it changes the way you act. It changes the way you live every single day of your life. That's how powerful this love is. I mean, the only way that I can think to explain this love is for those of you that have kids, you know, as a parent. I mean, this is that type of love transforms you in that way. Like when you have children, you know, it changes everything. It changes you from the inside out, changes the way you think, the way you act, your priorities. it's radically changing. And it's nothing that you had to fight for. It's just there. And it's unconditional. It's the same thing for someone who's never experienced maybe true love, right? And they finally find the one. And they start to act crazy, right? But it does. It changes the way they think, the way they act, the things that, how they're living their life. It's a deep love. It's a game changer. Like I said, it changes and transforms how we do life, who we are, kind of at our core. And with this agape type of love that Paul's talking about here, we find that God will express this love to us through a variety of different ways. I mean, that's the way God works. He knows that we're all created uniquely different, and he expresses that love to us in different ways as well. And one of the ways that he does that is through other Christ followers. Right? He will put it on the heart of somebody else, another Christ follower, to come and speak truth and life and sometimes correction to you that you need to hear. Remember, we talked about this love is not always giving you what you want, but giving you what you need. And he'll use other people to speak this into your life, to reveal that agape type of love. I mean, I think about for me, I think back several years ago of when I had a meeting to discuss my role here at the church with the former lead pastor, who was my pastor at the time. And he, you know, of course we went out to eat, to meet, because that's what we always did. And, you know, we were talking about my role. I mean, I had come to LifePoint Church as the youth pastor, and then I transitioned into being the creative pastor, whatever the heck that was. I still don't know what it was, but I did it for a while. Then I was the assistant pastor, and I had all these different titles, and I was becoming frustrated because not because of what God was doing or not doing or not because of anything other than a title. And I was allowing that to distract me. And he came along, and he revealed to me God's love through a difficult conversation of saying, you know, hey, you're finding your identity and your value and your worth based in a title as opposed to who you are in Christ and what God is doing through you. Title doesn't matter. And man, that was tough for me to hear. But in the moment, it's exactly what I needed to hear. It's not what I wanted to go and have lunch and hear that. But it's what I needed to hear. And from that, and don't miss the power of this, God was using him to express his unconditional love to me, to show me truth, to show me what I needed to hear. And it was in that experience that God began to change me, to change the way I thought, change the way I lived out ministry. And not even just in ministry, but changed the way I even saw my career outside of the church at the time. That it's not about a title. It wasn't about that. That's just surface level. But I needed that because of where I was to feel valued. And that was crazy. It was ridiculous. But we fall into those traps. And God shows that unconditional love to us sometimes through the beautiful words and tough words from other people. And in that process, it began to correct my unhealthy thinking towards myself and my unhealthy thinking of how God viewed me, not just how other people viewed me or how I viewed myself, but I had that unhealthy way of thinking of how God viewed me. And it's that type of love that radically transforms us from the inside out. And God expresses that to us in so many different ways. And Paul prayed that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. You see, once you experience this unconditional love, this agape type of love, I mean, there's really no going back because you're not the same. Once God revealed that truth to me through Jamie's words, my former pastor's words, I can't forget that. Because God spoke that and radically started to change me. I can't forget that. Because you're forever changed. You experience it in such a way that it transforms the way you think and the way you act. You know, where other people may look at a situation and see despair or desperation or hopelessness, because of that love, that unconditional agape love, you see God at work. You're not hopeless. You see hope. You see that God can move through that and do more through that. Your outlook, your lens that you look through is different. And it's because through the love of God, and it grows in you in both knowledge and insight, you're able to see what's best. Right? So we understand and know that the love of God will transform us. I think most people in here feel that, understand that, and most have experienced that. Right? And we know that it'll change us. But still, how do we know what's best? Right? We can say all the words all day long, but how do we really know what's best? I mean, we've got decisions, we got difficult things on the line that we've got to, make it or break it moments. So how do we know what's best? And if you find yourself in that situation, maybe continuously, I know I do, for some reason, I'm always kind of running through those questions. I want you to receive this statement. And it's that the key to knowing what's best is knowing God. See, if his love, that agape love, can transform us, therefore, the key to knowing what's best is simply knowing God. It's just that simple, yet that complicated, right? It seems so easy, but we complicate it all the time. The key to knowing what's best, to making those wise decisions, is knowing God. So then the next obvious question to that is, how do we know God? How do we know God more? See, and that's the reason that every single one of you are here today, right? It's to know God. Whether you've been a Christ follower for years or whether this is your first time ever stepping foot into a church, you're here to know God or to know God more. It's what we all desire. That's what we want. And especially because the key to knowing what's best is knowing God. So again, how do we know God? Well, I want to start by saying that there are a number of ways to know God. See, God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's the creator and sustainer of the universe, right? He expresses and reveals himself to us in a variety of different ways based on how he's created us. And we are his perfect handiwork. I mean, I think about people who experience God through worship. I mean, I know people that they sit in a worship service and, man, they experience God. And then I know people that sit in a worship service and just tune out because it's just not how they're wired. But yet when they're driving home from work on a late night and they see that sunset, they're experiencing God. Like, man, God, you're so good. He expresses that to us in a variety of different ways. Therefore, there's a variety of different ways to know God. Right? And with that in mind, what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning is I want to show you from Scripture, as well as from my own personal journey in processing how to work through decisions, three pillars that I think we can utilize when seeking to know God so that we can know what's best. And again, three things that are actually very simple. If you've been at church at all, you've heard these things before. But again, we really struggle to press play on them so much. So three things. And the first thing that we can do in seeking to know what's best through knowing God is to begin to seek godly counsel, right? Begin to seek godly counsel. Maybe you go after and look for someone that has experienced the same thing that you're experiencing or has made the type of decision that you're trying to make. Or maybe it's just someone that's further down the road in life than you are and they just are more wise than you. And they have knowledge and that experience, and you want to pick their brain. You want to acquire some of that wisdom. But regardless, you begin to seek godly counsel. And Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 actually teaches us this principle when it says that plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Right? They fail with lack of counsel. When we're just, running and gunning and doing things on our own, it's not necessarily always going to be the best. When we got those big, major life decisions, we need to seek godly counsel. Scripture tells us that. My experience tells me that, because I've done both. Godly counsel is always better. I've learned the hard way, right? I mean, when I think about that in my own life, I think about the people that I go to, that I rely on, that I seek that godly counsel from. I think about Daniel Henderson, who's the assistant pastor here, who's been taking over our kids ministry. Like I bounce things off him all the time. Like if you've been around us much, it's like, you know, we're like each other's yin to our yang kind of thing. We're quite different, but yet we work very well together, and it's because we balance each other out, and you know, where we push and pull, and I'm able to have that good godly counsel from him when I need to make a decision, whether it be just life or with the church or whatever, but I seek that godly counsel. I think about my ministry mentor right now, Brian Scott. He lives in Lexington, and I bounce things off him, you know. So I have these people in my life. I think about my wife. Like, I have to bounce things off her all the time because she's always there. She's never gone. Like, she's just there. No, I'm just kidding. But I do. I mean, because you want to talk about somebody that's going to tell me what I want to hear, right, to show me that love. She's going to tell me what I want to hear, whether I want to hear it or not. Same thing for my man Chris Wiggum back there who's you know, on the computer. He will tell me every Sunday what I need to hear, whether I want to hear it or not. And I value that. And I bounce things off of him. When I need godly counsel, I seek these people out in my life. You need that. When you're trying to decide what's best, you need to seek godly counsel. It's critical. You see, when you do that, you see these voices around you that begin to speak love and truth to you. And what's beautiful about it is typically when it all is aligning and it's really what's best, you see consensus amongst the people that you're speaking with. They're not all telling you different things, right? When it's of God, there's consensus there. It's that consensus with those leaders that are around you that God has placed in your life intentionally. That inner circle of influence. And if you don't have that, I challenge you to seek that out today. We all need that. I don't care how long you've been a Christ follower or who you are, you need that. You need that circle of influence, that godly counsel. So when you're trying to figure out what's best, definitely begin to seek godly influences and counsel in your life. The second thing that we can do to seek to know what's best through knowing God is to spend time in prayer, right? Like I said, this isn't like scriptural rocket science. I mean, this is, you know, pretty much the basics. But again, that's what this whole series is about. And we've identified that we struggle with prayer. We all know that we need to do it, that it's critical, that it's important. Yet a lot of times we allow these little bitty things to hinder us from spending that time in prayer with God. And as you're trying to make these big decisions, right, to know what's best, you have to go to God in prayer. You have to walk through it in prayer. You have to just point blank ask God, hey, show me what's best. And if you're not doing that in the decisions that you have in your life, you're missing out. I mean, we are so blessed and honored to be able to speak directly to God. Sometimes we forget that. We take that for granted way too much, that we can go to the feet of the creator of the universe and say, hey, God, show me what's best. I'm struggling with this decision. I don't know what to do. Show me what's best. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, don't be anxious about anything. How many of you all are anxious about decisions that you have to make, right? Hey, scripture right here. It's not from me. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Man, that's not just a command. That is something to be thankful for. It's not something that we have to do just because God's saying it. It's something that we get to do. That's incredible. Don't be anxious. Man, that's a tough one. That's a whole message series in of itself. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, take it to God in prayer. Take it to him in prayer. Take and present your request to God. So with that being said, when you're seeking to know what's best, we should definitely be taking that to God in prayer, spending that time in prayer. But see, there's a lot of us that actually do a pretty good job with that. right? We take those things to God in prayer. And we pray and we ask God, hey, God, what's best? Hey, what should I do in this situation? Hey, God, I'm not hearing you, or maybe I'm not hearing you so clearly. And we constantly talk to God, and we talk to God, and we talk to God, and we never shut up. And see, and what we forget sometimes is that prayer is simply communicating with God. And in all healthy communication, it's both speaking and what else? Listening, right? Speaking and listening. Some of us dudes need to remember that in our relationships, not just with God. Hello. We got to listen. We speak and then we listen. We've got to be willing to shut up and listen to what God has to say in order to know what's best, in order to know him more. John chapter 10, verse 27, we see that Jesus says that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They listen to his voice. We have to listen for God's voice. And then when he speaks, we follow him. We follow that direction. Because he's going to speak, but we've got to be quiet enough to listen, to hear that truth that he's speaking over us. And then when we do that, we'll know him more. We'll grow in our knowledge, right? And our understanding, and we'll be able to know what's best because he's going to speak that to us. See, here's what begins to happen. When you pray for that, God begins to prompt you into what's best. He speaks to you. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God like come down and say something to me, although that would probably be cool. It would probably freak me out at the same time, and I really don't know what I would do with that. But it would make things a lot easier, I'm sure. But my experience is that I experience with God when I speak to him and I'm praying and I'm asking, show me what's best, show me what's best. What should I do in this situation? He begins to prompt me into a certain direction. And I hear his voice in my heart, and it's so loud that I can't ignore it. And if I try to, it doesn't go away until I have to do what it is. Until I have to go and do what he's telling me to do, or I've got to go share something, right? Or send someone a text, you know, because I'm like, I probably should do that, and it's just there and there. Okay, I got to send them that text of encouragement, or just to see, hey, how are you doing? I don't know how many times God has prompted me at times to say, hey, just send a text to so-and-so, someone that I haven't even talked to in 3 months, and then the response back is, man, I needed to hear from you. This is what's going on. He prompts you to these things. And it's so powerful and compelling in your heart that you have to do what he says. But we have to be quiet enough to receive that. Because if we constantly stay so busy all the time, and we're constantly talking and we're constantly moving, then we're not going to be able to hear that voice. We're not going to feel that prompting. We're not going to be able to act on that. So when we want to know what's best, we need to spend time in prayer. Both speaking to God, telling him and asking him what we need, praising him, worshiping him, but also in listening to his direction, to his prompting, when he shows us, when he will show us what's best. And finally, the third thing that we can do in seeking to know what's best through knowing God is to spend time in God's word. Spend time in his word, seeking him to know what's best. Seeking him through those difficult situations. When we read his word, man, he reveals these things to us. He shows us, he prompts us, he gives us confirmation so many times through spending time in his word. Psalms 119, verse 105 says this about God's word. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. I mean, how many of you all have gotten up in the middle of the night, in the dark, walked through the kitchen, and hit your toe, that little pinky toe, on a chair, right? I know there's more of y'all than how many of y'all have done that, right? Now, how many of y'all said some few choice words after that? Hey, man, at least y'all are honest. I'm okay with that. You're honest. But seriously, think about it that way. I mean, use that visual. That's what the scripture's there for. It's a light to our feet. It's a lamp to our path, right? So God's word is there for us to guide us, It's a roadmap as we journey through this thing called life to protect us, to keep us safe, to help us to know what's best. And he will reveal that to us through his word. You see, what tends to happen is while you're out there seeking godly counsel, right, and you're spending time in prayer, speaking and listening to God, he starts to reveal those things to you. But sometimes we need a little more encouragement than that, right? And then we start to read his word, and we're spending time in his word. And what we see is that God a lot of times is like, okay, obviously you're not getting it from the others. So here, let me put it plain as day right here in my word. And he reveals that to us. And again, it's the same thing as with prayer. It's so compelling that we're like, yeah, that's it. That's what I thought it was, and it's confirmed right here in his word. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our calling. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, how many of y'all have been, you've been reading in the Bible or listening to it or been in a message, you know, in a sermon, listening to that, and it's like the scripture was written just for you at this time and place in your life, right? I mean, how many of y'all have experienced that? I mean, I've experienced that. I've been like, this is awkward. Like, the pastor knows what I did yesterday. Like, he knows this is not good. Or it's just like you read that scripture and it's like, man, what? I've read this verse so many times, but it's never jumped out at me like this about this situation. It's because God speaks through his word. It's living. He uses those things to communicate to us, to help us to know what's best. You see, the key to knowing what's best is knowing God. And as you know and love him more and more, right, and you begin to hear him more clearly, you begin to understand more. And as you hear him and understand him more clearly, you begin to know what's best. You know how to make those decisions. You know how to maneuver and navigate through life. Again, how do we know God more? Again, there's all kinds of different ways. But there's definitely, you can seek godly counsel. You can definitely spend time in prayer, both talking to God and listening. And you can definitely spend time in his word. And as you do this, I promise you, you're going to see that God is going to speak to you and reveal to you exactly what's best. We got to live wide awake. We got to listen. We got to quiet down sometimes so that we can allow him to speak and we can connect with him in that way. And as he does this, I promise you're going to watch as he transforms your life. And you'll know what's best. Life Point, may we be a church that prays. May we be a church that prays. May we do life together, and may we pray together. May we pray individually. May we spend that time with God and not just those routine, meaningless prayers that are just going through the motions. But I'm talking about big, specific prayers. May we listen to God. Let him guide and direct us through godly counsel, through his word, through prayer. May we be a church that prays for power, right? May we be a church that prays that we would all be active in sharing our faith. And not just spouting it off with our mouth, but living it out every single day. Be active in sharing and living our faith. Maybe we be a church that prays for unity, like for real, like not just doing it because we're saying we're doing it. May we pray for unity and be unified with other believers. Regardless if we disagree here and there on this little bitty theology here and there or whatever, but we be unified as the body of Christ to reach more people. And may we be a church that prays that our love for God would abound more and more in our lives, both in knowledge and in depth of insight, right? So that we can know and do what's best. Because that's what I want for me. That's what I want for this church. And I know that's what you all want as well. You want to do and know what's best. And God will lead you to that. Knowing him will allow you to know what's best. Let's pray. God, again, we thank you. We thank you for the fact, God, that we can spend time with you in prayer. We thank you that we have direct access to you, that we can worship you and praise you and you hear us, that we can make requests and petitions or ask you questions and you hear us, that we can be honest, reverent, but honest, and express our frustrations, our confusion, our doubts, and you hear us. And through your grace and your mercy and your love, you hold us in those moments, and you encourage us, and you show us that agape love, that unconditional love that's hard for us to understand, God, but we appreciate it. We're so thankful for that. And may we never take prayer and your love for granted, ever. God, may we be a church that prays. May we be a church and a people that seek to know you more so that we can know what's best. Maybe you're here this morning as we continue in prayer, and you've been coming to Life Point Church for a little bit, or you've been checking out churches or reading the Bible, but you've never stepped over that line of faith. Your first step in knowing what's best is knowing God, period. Stepping over that line of faith into a personal relationship with him for the very first time. Maybe that's where you're at. And if that's where you're at, man, you're in the best place possible. You're amongst people that love you. And you're amongst a God who loves you more than you could ever understand, who wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you, that loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you, shed his blood, take your place, take on your sin, your shame, your failures, your screw-ups, and took that upon himself so that you could have life, so that you could be made right before a holy God. And not only did he give of his life, but he rose again victoriously, defeated death, defeated hell. The victory's won through Christ. That's how much he loved you. And if that's you this morning, you're ready to step over that line of faith. You're ready to enter into that relationship with a God that loves you. And just from your seat, however he leads you, just call out to him. Just call out to him. Scripture says that if you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you confess and you believe that you will be saved. It's about confessing and it's about believing. It's not complicated. It's not you have to say these specific words or this or that. It's your heart laid over to God, saying, God, I need you. Confession. God, I believe that I'm a sinner, that I screw up, that I'm not perfect, and that I'm in need of a Savior. And I believe that you died and rose again for me. And I'm asking you to save me. And just call out to him however he leads you, through confession and belief. Scripture says in that moment that you'll be saved. You'll be connected to God forever, and nothing can take that away. Nothing. You're a new creation. And you begin that journey of knowing God more and more and more. If that's you, just call out to him today. Maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christ follower. Maybe you've been a Christ follower for just less than a week or a few days, or maybe for years and years and years. But the fact of the matter is, man, you're disconnected. You feel far from God. You feel like you don't even hardly know him anymore. And everything's cloudy. You don't know what's best. You don't know which way to go. And you're just lost. Man, know God today. Come back to him. He's waiting. Come back to him. The key to knowing what's best is knowing God. If you're struggling with a decision or you just don't know what to do, man, continue to know God, to rest in his love, and to love him more and more. begin to seek that godly counsel. Spend time in prayer. Seriously, just pray. Just honest. It could be driving down the road. It could be walking down the street. It could be sitting at your desk. But just pray to God for direction, for wisdom, for discernment, to know what's best. And then spend some time just being quiet and listen. Follow that prompting. And then spend time in His Word so that He can confirm what He's speaking to you, or that He can reveal something new to you, some new direction that you need to go, or just make something crystal clear. Know God today. God, again, we thank You for Your truth. God, may we grow in our love for You. May we receive Your agape love today. God, may we grow in our love more and more, and our knowledge and our insight, God, so that we can know through You what's best. We won't be anxious, but we'll rest in Your truth. And Lord, that's tough. That's hard for so many of us. But God, may we rest in Your truth and give those things up to You, and trust that You're going to lead us into knowing what's best. In Your name we pray. Amen.